the silence and elevating community voices.
Witness Radio, thank you so much. You have become our voices. Nobody would know what is taking place, because for a long time we had not known what was going on in Kiryandongo, what had taken place in Mubende, because the grabbers operate at night when people are asleep. But you have done a lot.
Witness Radio.
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 In a world racing toward clean energy, who's left behind? Welcome to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition, the program that highlights on Africa's journey toward a fair and inclusive energy future.
Hello, our dear listener. Welcome to Witness Radio, your trusted voice. You are listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition, where we take you on an informative journey of energy transition across Africa. It's the Witness Radio series program, The Media and Renewable Energy. In this series, we are using the power of the media to shine a light on Uganda's journey towards clean, sustainable energy. To listen to us, visit our website, www.witnessradio.org, or visit Google Play Store and download the Witness Radio app. And in case you'd like to reach us, please chat with us on our WhatsApp, +256 745 965 765, or through calling us directly on +256 414 697 221, and we will hear you, or on all our social media platforms. This week, Uganda hosted the Renewable Energy Conference 2025 to discuss and advance the clean energy agenda. Its purpose this time was to foster collaboration between government, private sector, and development partners to transform energy systems with a specific focus on clean cooking to meet the national target of 50% access by 2030. And in this conference, development partners were present: the German and European Union embassies representatives. And in this conference, development partners were present: the German and European Union embassies representatives emphasized the importance of balancing environmental conservation and livelihood. But before we proceed, let us go for a commercial break, and when we return, we'll first hear from the development partners.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Oina amawuli agakwata ku kibattaka. Oba waliwo gw'omanyi ng'agobeddwa ku ttaka, oba ng'ebintu bye byonooneddwa olw'enkaayana z'ettaka oba ekibanja. Tegeeza Witness Radio ng'oyita ku ssimu zaffe namba 0491 6927221, oba eya WhatsApp 0745 95 75. Nandi ki ensonga ziroope butereevu ku kibanja kyaffe ekya Witness Radio ku www.witnessradio.org. Laba ku mapu eraga abantu n'ettaka eritwaliddwa, era ojja kulaba ekigambo report eviction. Awoloopa, bw'oba ogobeddwa ku ttaka, bw'omala noonya ekitundu kyo gy'obeera ku mapu eno, onyige ku kitundu kyo gy'obeera ku mapu, kireete akatonyeza akalangi emyufu, olwo okanyigeko. Jjuza foomu eyo, onyige safe okutereka by'ojjuza. Teekamu ekifaananyi eky'ekitundu ky'ettaka eribbiddwa. Nyiga upload ng'osindikirako ekifaananyi.
You're listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition.
Welcome back from that commercial break. In the REC 25, which took place from 20th to 22nd October 25, the German ambassador to Uganda, Matthias Karl, stated that transforming systems for livelihoods and conservation are important elements in renewable energy that should be balanced.
Under the theme Transforming Energy Systems for Livelihoods and Conservation, I consider these two elements to be extremely important: livelihoods and conservation. Without energy, it is very hard to establish livelihoods, but without conservation, you will be destroying them again sooner or later. They need to be well balanced. Germany has been walking alongside Uganda on this journey for over 60 years now. GIZ and KfW, who implement the economic cooperation for the German government, have supported the development of renewable energy and energy efficiency programs and infrastructure. At the same time, they strengthened local capacity, promoted innovative financing mechanisms to expand access to clean energy. Our partnership reflects a shared vision, unlocking Uganda's potential, and that potential is huge. Fostering inclusive growth and ensuring that the benefits of energy transformation reach all communities, including remote and refugee hosting areas. As Team Germany, and of course as Team Europe too, we are honored to be part of this year's event, which we have proudly supported through GIZ for 20 years now. Now that is a milestone on our journey of partnership and progress with the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Development. I see the Energy and Minerals Week as something really important because it provides a platform, a very valuable platform for all sector players, including service providers, utility operators, commercial enterprises, and academia. It gives the opportunity to align, to network, to exchange ideas, and most importantly, promote innovation in the energy and mineral sectors. Germany's goal is to advance access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, and clean energy for all, in line with the Sustainable Development Goal number 7. Germany has continued to support the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Development in strengthening dialogue, building capacity, and driving forward the renewable energy agenda.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
You're listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition.
In the course of the last 3 days, this conference has spotlighted Uganda's vast potential with its rich hydro, solar, and geothermal resources to become a green energy powerhouse in the region. Uganda is a strategic partner of the European Union in the global energy transition. And the European Union is resolute in its commitment to support Uganda in unlocking this potential through our joint efforts. The European Union is not just making promises, but we are delivering highest quality results through the Global Gateway, which is Europe's offer for sustainable connectivity across the globe. At the recent Global Gateway Forum in Brussels earlier this month, which was attended by our Honorable Minister, Ruth Nankabirwa Sentamu, and as reported in today's Daily Monitor, we celebrated there a remarkable milestone, surpassing our 300 billion euro target for the 2021-2027 investment package, reaching a total of 306 billion euros, equivalent to a staggering 1,200 trillion Ugandan shillings. This milestone underscores our steadfast commitment as a credible and predictable partner towards a just global future, grounded in shared values of peace and inclusive climate-neutral development. In Uganda, as many of you probably know, the EU-backed Global Gateway investments span from large-scale flagship projects like the Nalubale-Chira hydropower plant rehabilitation and interconnector projects with Uganda's neighboring countries to small-scale decentralized solutions such as mini-grids powering rural communities and subsidizing connections for the most vulnerable. For instance, the last grant contribution agreement we signed is for the Uganda-South Sudan interconnector. And we are also supporting e-mobility, for example, through GoGo Electric, that is actually exhibiting here in the expo. They have their electric Boda Bodas there for you to try, I even think. Ladies and gentlemen, Our financial backing seeks to push for the highest global standards. And in this regard, we applaud the efforts of the Electricity Regulatory Authority, the National Renewable Energy Platform, and the Uganda National Bureau of Standards in setting new benchmarks. Energy access extends beyond the national grid, and the EU is deeply committed to decentralized renewable energy solutions, mini-grids and solar home systems, as the fastest route towards universal energy access.
And now let's hear from Minister Ruth Nankabirwa, the Minister of Energy and Mineral Development.
As we move into National Development Plan 4, people must be very careful because the energy will be too much to make sure that we achieve it. This year's discussion have deepened our collaboration and collective understanding of what it truly means to transform energy systems from livelihood and conservation. We have listened to each one of you. I witnessed the debate in the morning. The panel was wonderful. And we have agreed that renewable energy is not just about powering homes and industries, but it is about improving lives of people, protecting our environment, and enabling equity in growth. This is what it means, and this is what everybody yearns for. Through the performance reviews of our sustainable energy and extractive development programs, we have collectively assessed progress made under Development Plan 3, and we have identified clear pathways for accelerated implementation of National Development Plan 4. I was excited when the review was being presented from BMAU, Budget Monitoring Unit in the Ministry of Finance, and from the Monitoring and Evaluation Unit from the Office of the Prime Minister. We passed highly. We passed. We performed in some areas, we performed 851.9%, especially on recruitment of people on national content. That means Ugandans benefited a great deal. We thought we were going to recruit 135. We ended up recruiting more than 1,500. That was supersonic. We celebrate success. We have good stories, and we've been talking about them. But as we go home, just to remind you that the commissioning of the 600-megawatt plant, Karuma, was something that needs a celebration. 600 megawatts. It is the biggest hydropower plant, underwater hydropower plant on the continent. And we have aligned other big projects, 840 megawatts from Ayago. I hope we shall fast track the development of that hydropower, because we need this hydropower electricity to stabilize our national grid and to unlock the development of solar energy. We have so many license applications, but we are moving very slowly because of grid instability. We need to be mixing with hydropower.
And now, before we proceed, let's first go for a short break, and when we return, we shall listen to our experts.
Oyagala okubuliza Witness Radio, genda ku Play Store mu simu yo, otekemu Witness Radio, app eno ojja kuba ogiraba. Oluvannyuma giwanule yo, otandika okuwuliriza butereevu leediyo yaffe eno, osobola okufuna empeereza yaffe ng'okyalidde kibanja kya Witness Radio. ku www.witnessradio.org ogenda waguru kumukono gwo gwa dio ku kigambo live n'oluvanyuma onyege ku kapesa ku makati owuliriza Witness Radio radio yo ekutuusa ke ensonga ezikwata ku byettaka wamu n'embeera y'obutonde.
Listen to Witness Radio to learn more about environmental laws and policies and how you can protect the environment.
You're listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition.
Welcome back from that break. You are listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition at Witness Radio, where we take you on an informative journey and at the moment focusing on Uganda's renewable energy transition plan. And now as we proceed with the program, we will hear from the renewable experts. Uganda developed several renewable energy-related policies and plans, all aimed at promoting the development and utilization of renewable energy sources to increase access to affordable, reliable, and sustainable energy. Also, to regulate the electricity sector, promote competition, and facilitate development of renewable energy projects, and as well, enhance energy access, diversify energy sources, and ensure environmental sustainability, among others. We sought to understand more on this effort, and now we bring Jacinta Nekesa, the Executive Director, Environmental Alert, to explain the impact of these policies in transforming Uganda with renewable energy. She says that the energy policy for Uganda is set to achieve universal access to sustainable, affordable, and quality energy services for Uganda.
When you say universal access, that means improving access for everyone, almost to 100%. And when you look at the policy has targets. I'll just mention a few. One of the targets, for example, is that they will be able to expand electricity access 80%. When they were developing the policy, the beginning was 19, by 24, they will be able to expand the access to electricity up to 80% of the population. And when you talk about impact, so if this was the target, what is the impact currently? The government is reporting that to date, at least by early this year, 2025, access had risen from that 19% to 58%, with over 2 million households connected. Though, much as they are connected, the access to energy is still low due to high tariffs associated with this energy. The baseline was in 2022. The baseline of 19% was 2022. The policy came into force in 2023. And this is the update as early of this year. But we have improved up to 58% with over 2 million households connected. Then the other area was to increase energy diversification, looking at energy resources and energy mix. And we find that this has improved, and the energy mix now includes hydropower. We are standing at 84%. We also have solar. We are standing at 4%. Biofuels at 7%, and thermal at 7% as well.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
You're listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition.
Environmental conservation is at the center of renewable energy transition program, as it aims at sensitizing and empowering the community to embrace the program as they conserve the environment and use it sustainably for a lasting future. Nekesa says that the National Energy Policy and the Transition Plan have played a great role in protecting the environment, and with energy alternatives coming in to replace firewood and charcoal, Nekesa is certain that this will reduce deforestation, which now contributes to environmental protection.
Because we are talking about renewable energy, and we are talking about reducing reliance on firewood and charcoal, when this happens, then it helps to curb deforestation. It helps to curb the cutting down of trees. Because when you look at traditional biomass use, people are relying on firewood. People are relying on the use of charcoal.
Yes.
And this promotes cutting down of trees. Mm. So when we talk about other alternatives, like use of cooking gas, use of electricity,
yes,
then you reduce deforestation. So we see that, yes, they are contributing to environmental protection by curbing deforestation and replacing the cooking of using firewood and charcoal, because this is what leads to cutting down of trees. And the, of course, when you look at the currently the Uganda's forest cover, currently the loss annually of forest cover in Uganda, cutting down the trees for various reasons, including firewood and charcoal, stands at 2.6% annually. So when we see alternatives coming in to replace firewood and charcoal, then it reduces on its deforestation. So there is a way it's contributing to environmental protection. That is one way. The other second one is that cleaner energy sources, they contribute to low carbon emission.
Yes.
Because when you look at the energy transition plan, it aims for net zero emissions. And we find that this has improved from the energy mix now includes hydropower. We are standing at 84%.
Yes.
We also have solar. We are standing at 4%.
Mm-hmm.
Biofuels at 7% and thermal at 7% as well. Then the other target was also to increase, for example, promotion of clean cooking fuels and technologies. And the baseline around 2022 was 15% of the population had access to clean cooking fuels and technology.
You're listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition.
Experts say that Uganda's renewable energy development aims also at addressing the challenges of environmental destruction like the water sources, wetlands, forests, and land. This involves sensitizing communities about the importance of environmental conservation, including the water sources, practice the good use of the environment, and as well enjoy the benefits of renewable energy. Ruth Chiwanuka is the Executive Director, Joint Energy and Environment Projects in Uganda. She gives us the successes of the renewable energy program. She, however, expressed concern of the slow adoption to the renewable energy, saying that people are so much attached to their traditional way of doing work and do not rush to jump on any opportunities that come up.
At least for the 42 years of this sensitization and training people in environment conservation, GIP has very much talked and educated and informed people about renewable energy or an energy that saves. And many people, for all that period, many people have appreciated and slowly adopting the application of renewable energy in their day-to-day life. I say slowly because people in this country, I don't know whether it is the whole of Africa, don't take on new technologies immediately you show them or you talk to them or you train them. They are so attached to the traditional methods of doing work, and changing their attitude is not easy, but you have to insist and persist and try hard continuously until some of them start taking on, and then they can also convince their friends and others. But I'm saying slowly, people started adopting applications, and we are seeing some of them, and we know many others.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
But when you talk about energy from the sun, then they tend to be confused or reluctant to accept or fearing to say, can it work and all that. So what we have since 2007, We tried to go to them and show them exactly the technology, starting from a tiny one, a small lamp of solar, telling them that this can replace your tadova, your kerosene lamp, the tadova. And still they could feel, oh God, are you seriously saying this lamp is going to get light from the sun, the energy from the sun? Yeah, we said, yes, it is getting, and you see this small panel? It is a small panel, but when it faces the sun, then the battery is going to be filled with energy from the sun. Then, having talked much about that, we wanted to know whether they knew how much they are spending on kerosene. Oh my God, almost in all communities, no one could tell how much. The reason is just said, my husband lives there, 500 or 6,000, 1,000 of that. But she could not total up and say, now a week it is this much, a month it is this much, a year it is this much. When we ask their name, they would say, ah, just leave the 1,000 there for her to buy kerosene. He also could not tell how much he spends. What Jeep did was to slowly calculate with them. Now, if you are giving 1,000 for counting for 7 days, let's see how much together we were counting together. That is 7,000. And a month, 28,000. And a year, this much. That's when they said, oh, goodness, are we spending all that? Then we said, now, this is the solution. This is a small lamp using energy from the sun, which is a free gift from God, is going to help you. It is costing 15,000. My age was 15. Now it is 25. That is a long time ago, for 15. And 15,000, from what we have counted, can you see what you are going to save? Huh? They say, As long as you are telling the truth, that the sun can energize the lamp. So whenever we calculated, they could see, oh, goodness. Once you buy the lamp, you are not going to lose kerosene anymore, and you are not paying for anything. And we talked about the problem of the kerosene lamp, how it burns children, it burns houses, the smoke is too much, you are like smoking cigarettes and all that. So they started picking, and then they started using. Yes, our grandparents were using firewood for everything, even for lighting and all that. Those are the people we sit there. When we meet the groups, of course, we go through the local leaders.
You're listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition.
But what is interesting in the sensitization exercise about renewable energy, Chuanuka says, is how to convince the ordinary people to believe that they can get energy from the sun, especially as these have for a long time heard only about electricity generated from water, and it's what they find easy to use in their day-to-day life. And economically, the program has made good strides. Ruth Kiwanuka says economic impact has been registered with improved household income due to the use of renewable energy in agriculture. Like the solar irrigation pump, which has helped to reduce on the daily spending of money to fetch water for irrigation. But to date, the rollout of renewable energy program in the rural areas has remained on a slow pace. And this is mainly due to lack of funds and poverty in the entire rural community. But Ruth Kironka believes that once partners move out to support the responsible ministry in informing the people, the community can go a long way in embracing the renewable energy technology. This is because the responsible ministries have also not done much to reach out to the communities to ensure that these get informed about the renewable technologies. And with that, let's go for another break before we continue with the program.
Oyagala kweyongera kukuguka mu mateeka agakwata kuttaka. Ganyulwa mu program za Witness Radio osomesebwe batya bw'osobola okukuuma ettaka lyo okuva mu mikono gy'abannakigwanyizi. Oli mulwanirizi wa ddembe, oyagala amaloboozi g'ebitundu oba abantu b'olwanirira gatuuke ku bavunaanyizibwa. Weekwate radio y'abantu. Witness Radio, uliriza Witness Radio, mchitundu cho, ngekula mbululira ensonge zinyiga abantu. Uliriza nga Witness Radio, hukuma nye nkula kula na yetaka, nga tekosa bantu mu bitundu mwetekeddwa obo butonde bw'ensi.
The world is moving toward renewable energy, but will it be just for everyone? Tune in to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. East African Standard Time, where we explore how Africa can embrace clean energy without leaving communities behind. Because justice must fuel the transition. The energy future is here, but who benefits?
You're listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition.
Welcome back from that break. However, the roadmap to renewable in Uganda is already running, and several achievements have been made that have transformed the socio-economic conditions of the beneficiaries. Bernard Dansois is an expert at EcoSafe Limited and deals in biogas and installation in the households. He gives us the key achievements that have benefited the local community. He said this is an achievement, especially as waste products being discarded as total waste is now considered as one way of managing waste in a sustainable manner. To him, successful stories have been registered in households that have treated animal manure and poultry manure to get access to energy, and this confess that they have made savings out of waste.
I can say a lot has been achieved. Communities or members of communities, especially from the perspective of biogas as a renewable source of energy, communities have been informed about the possibility of using discarded degradable, biodegradable items as a source of renewable energy. To me, I see that as an achievement.
Yep.
Because always we have been looking at discarded items, which we mainly call waste, as waste in the true sense of nothing can be gained out of discarded items. That is an achievement because it is one way of managing waste in a sustainable manner, or managing these items as a resource other than something that has no value at all. Secondly, we have witnessed instances where households have treated animal manure, animal and poultry manure, to gain access to energy, and they have themselves testified that they have made savings. We have these testimonies from different families. For instance, one family in Makindi, Sabagabo, has testified that they were using two sacks of charcoal per month, and each sack was going for 130K. So for a month, they were spending 260K. That is a lot of money for a household.
Excellent.
And now that they acquired a biogas digester, which consumes manure, which was at first a challenge to manage, giving them a challenge to manage, they have now managed to turn it into biogas, and they have made that saving.
Bernarda says this family managed to acquire a biogas digester using the income from the waste and has now boosted their income at household level.
We have served some people families in Nakaseke district. There is a family that piqued interest in using biosilare, one of the two major byproducts of the biogas plant. You see, there are two byproducts. The first one is biogas, which is a source of energy. And then the second byproduct is a biofertilizer called biosilare. And they are using this biosilare to grow improved pastures for their cows, dairy cows. And they were telling us that they have made a saving of about 120K per month. because now they are farming, they are growing these improved pastures. Mm-hmm. They no longer spend a lot of time moving places to places to get pastures for their zero grazing animals. So that is a saving in terms of money, and it is a saving in terms of time. And even the labor of carrying the pastures from wherever they got it to their home was another expense. Now they are saving on petrol they were using to run their motorbike to carry the pasture from wherever they had got it to their home. That is another saving that they have really noted, and they are happy with it. They have grown beans, they have grown matoke, they have grown coffee using this biocellary, and their plants look good. They are happy. For us, we did it as a demonstration. We planted only 10 plantlets of coffee and 10 suckers of matoke, just for them to see the impact of biocellary on the 20 plantlets that we used to demonstrate. And this one has made them to like the way their crops look like, and they have continued to plant more. To us, we see this as an achievement, because we look at a biogas plant as a source of biofertilizer, yes, which can be used to replenish their farmland, and also good enough they can, they have started using it. They have planted crops during the dry season. That means they are becoming they can even produce throughout the year using this biocellary, because as they apply the biocellary for nutrients, they are also watering their plants. To me, that is a big innovation, and it's a big achievement on that side. So we can say they are now saving on energy meant for charcoal and firewood. They are saving on time. They are saving on the hard labor that accompanies looking for firewood and carrying it from long distances. They are also saving on chemical fertilizers. Yeah. Instead of going for chemical fertilizers, they are using biocellary to produce.
You're listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition.
Despite the achievements, renewable energy faces challenges that need serious address if the country is to achieve the desired goal. Communities in general should be informed and educated about the sources of energy they should avoid, like firewood and charcoal. Also, there should be a deliberate effort and a deliberate policy to educate the communities to keep away from using these sources of energy. The other challenge that needs address is the attitude, which can be achieved through education. As we wrap up today's episode, it should be noted that Uganda's transition itself from firewood, charcoal and diesel to renewable energy sources like solar, hydropower, wind and biogas is indeed a critical and a challenging step in tackling energy poverty, reducing carbon emissions and building a more resilient and inclusive economy, especially with limited resources and high population growth. And before we end the program, please, if you want to listen to us, visit our website, which is www.witnessradio.org, or visit the Google Play Store and download the Witness Radio app. And in case you'd like to reach us, please chat with us on our WhatsApp, which is +256 745 965 765, or through calling us directly on +256 414 697 221, and we shall hear you out or on all our social media platforms. Thank you for keeping it locked to Witness Radio. Stay tuned, stay informed, and stay inspired to be part of the energy revolution. Please do not forget that Eyes on a Just Energy Transition airs on Witness Radio every Monday Wednesday and Friday from 10 a.m. East African Standard Time. Catch us again same time, same radio station. I am Will Steven, your host.
That was Eyes on a Just Energy Transition, amplifying community voices and keeping justice at the center of Africa's clean energy shift. Join us again next time and keep your eyes open for change.